Everyone, I'm glad to see everyone here today and ready to worship as a family together here. It's awesome to see everyone singing and doing their thing. Today I want to get started with our praise and prayer here quickly. I'll start off quickly by saying Dr. Arnold Cook passed away recently. Most of you probably don't know who he is, but he was a former president of the CMA in Canada. And so he just passed away, I believe it was on Friday, for those of you who like to be in the know about that stuff. It's actually a pretty tragic passing for those who are a part of the Alliance family and who have served as pastors and such and have known Arnold along the way. So we just want to join the Cook family in prayer and such. Dr. Cook served a lot in Saskatchewan churches. He did a lot of ministering out there as well from what I had read and seen. So we'll lift up the Cook family in prayer. Another thing is the Dorn family. I'm understanding that Lois is back home. She's sick. Okay, yeah, it was, so we got an email just kind of saying that Lois is sick at the moment. There are our Seamless Link partners. So she's home. Jerry's serving, still in Senegal with her, not doing so well at this moment. So we want to lift them up in prayer and that Lois gets healthy quickly here. One last thing, I just wanted to thank all the Sunday school teachers last week for coming out to the meeting. And one thing I realized pretty quickly was that I was the only male that was sitting in on this meeting. And I'm like, hey, guys, maybe we could step it up a little bit and some of us could be Sunday school teachers. That would be fantastic. Because, I don't know, it was just awkward, I guess, for me with a bunch of ladies gathered around the table. And like, all right, this is good times. Well, yeah, Sunday school meeting was great, and so we just want to uplift them. A lot of them are serving downstairs right now. And anytime you see a Sunday school teacher, just thank them for the work that they do and encourage them. And just be like, if your kids are in Sunday school, let them know how your kids are being impacted by it, and that would be fantastic. Another thing I'll quickly point out is out in our bulletin board now, we have Dave and Helga's poster. Well, it's kind of like just a mini piece of paper up. It's their poster for their missions that they're doing. Gives a little information there about the giftings that Helga has and the giftings that Dave have and what they're going to bring to the table on the mission field there. And another notice that I put up is from Karen Fisher. I have an opportunity to meet with her on very rare occasions and also with Facebook communications back and forth, but she has sent me a letter to the church. So if you remember Karen, if you know Karen, please stop by, have a good read of the letter there. It's a pretty emotional one, so as you can understand, let's lift the Fisher family up in prayer as well. Anyone else have anything they want to bring forward today? Yes, sir. Absolutely, yes. Do you need a mic, Brad? And if we can remember on those like cold, blustery days where travel's not really the greatest, if you're feeling inspired to maybe give Virginia a ride to the home, that would be greatly appreciated because 92 years old, living on her own, and you want to keep her safe and on the road so she can visit her loved one, Richard. You know, it's got to be tough. So we'll hold them up in prayer for sure. Anyone else? Yes, Bethany. Absolutely. Bernice and Arlene. Absolutely. Sure, absolutely. Excellent. Okay. We'll take this to our Father. Holy Spirit, we just call upon you today. We pray that you fill us. And today we pray that your words, your thoughts, your prayers would come out of our mouths and that you would give us the appropriate words to pray for the people that we have on our list today. Maybe even those that didn't even make the list, but we silently hold on to. Lord Jesus, we lift up the Cook family as, Dr. Arnold Cook was of an older age, but it's still tough to lose someone. And so we hold them up and we pray that they continue to be able to minister to the people in their different areas, and that through Dr. Cook's passing, there will be a good message given at his funeral when that comes. Thank you for Dr. Arnold Cook, Jesus. And Father, we lift up the Dorn family to you right now, as you know what the struggles are there with Lois. They're not really sure what's going on with her, but we just pray that during this time, you would come along and you'd fill her with your Spirit, and you would heal her and mend her brokenness that she's experiencing right now. We pray for her time here in Canada, that it would be a good time of refreshing as she hangs out with her family in Stony Plain. And Lord, as we continue to pray for healing, we lift up Bernice and Arlene to you as they struggle with their cancer. Jesus, we don't know the extent of what it is or what it happens to be, how bad it is. We just pray that you remove those cancerous cells. You perform a miracle in this time, and that they know that it is from you. Jesus, let it be something that glorifies you in the healing. We pray this in your name. And we want to lift up Richard and Virginia to you right now, as Richard's in a care home, and he's being loved on by some people there. We just pray that it is a place of peace and contentment for him, and that he feels very loved there. We pray that our people go and visit him. We pray that our people take Virginia to go visit him, and that they walk alongside these two who are not living together at this moment. And so we just lift them up to you and pray for your Holy Spirit among them. Be with the McCullough family, please. We want to lift up the Fisher family to you as well, Ed and Karen and John, as they continue to deal with the loss of a son or a brother. We pray that we as a church were able to listen and walk alongside with them in this journey and read the note and just see what the heart has to say for Karen. God, we lift them up to you as we can't even describe the pain that they go through. We want to pray as well for John's friend that's coming for a quick visit, and that John has the ability to share the gospel message with her and present you, Lord. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be in that meeting and to change hearts and to soften them. Pray that in your name. And our final one is for Sunday school. Is so happy with the volunteers that come out every week and love on these kids and give them a passionate message about you, Jesus. I can only think back to the times when I was teaching Sunday school and the joy that it brought me to have these excited little ones in front of you, trying to get control of them at times, trying to, you know, just help them understand at times. And then at times just worshiping with some kids, which is just a whole nother experience. As you sing together, as you you dance and you do goofy things all for your glory. So we pray for our Sunday school teachers that you would give them refreshing, that you would fill them anew, that you would take away some of the exhaustion that comes with teaching, and you would just make them feel so loved in this moment. Jesus, we pray this all in your name. Amen. One quick thing before I get started here. As you probably have noticed, Stephen has kind of undertaken like a changing of the bathroom down here. We want to make it presentable. We found some black mold in there that we had to remove, so that's one of the big reasons behind the big change. If you're familiar with some of the plumbing stuff, maybe, you know, if Stephen asks you to help out, you'd be like, yeah, that would be excellent, especially if you got some free time. If not, that's okay too. We won't judge. We'll just love on you anyways. I'm going to start by reading from Ecclesiastes 3:1, and it says this: there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. So there's a time to advance regardless of opposition, and there's also a time to retreat. And so today we're going to be looking at a passage that we see that it's acceptable to retreat, as Jesus actually does that in John chapter 10, verse 40 to 42. And this is what the author John wrote in these verses as he says this, John 10, 40 to 42. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many people believed in Jesus. Quick note here. John the author is talking about John the Baptist in these verses and not himself. And so, according to John the author, Jesus had been in Jerusalem for a while at this time. And while Jesus was in Jerusalem, he was not received the kindest, as you've probably read throughout the past few chapters. Jesus knew that his time on earth was coming to a close. This is his final year of ministering, after all. And in his final year, we read that he went to Jerusalem from Galilee. This occurred around the Feast of Tabernacles, which means it's probably around the fall season. It's in John 7, verses 2 to 10 that we read, but when the Jewish festival of Tabernacle was near, and then however after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Jesus would spend most of the winter at this time in Jerusalem, and this is where he would preach and teach a large amount of people. His teachings were sharp and to the point. He called people out for how they were coming off as hypocrites. And because of these teachings, an opposition began to form. And this consisted of Jewish leaders, Pharisees and Sadducees and other such people. The opposition came about out of disdain for his stance on the Sabbath. But this disdain would morph, wouldn't it, into hatred, and eventually would lead to the opposition attempting to murder Jesus, as we see in John chapter 8 and John chapter 10. This opposition would make it clear that Jesus' ministry window was beginning to close, so this is where he chooses to depart Jerusalem, as we read in John 10, 40. That Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed. It's a simple action by Jesus, but it contains a lot for us to learn. Through this, we see that there's value in returning to places that have been a great spiritual blessing in our lives. It is good to return to those places where God has revealed himself to you. It's a good thing. Some people like to go to camp. Some people like to go to churches. Others find Jesus out on a nature hike that they took long ago where they found him. Some people find it in music. Some people find it in all various types of things, going through scripture. There's significance to these places. Jesus, he returned to the other side of the Jordan. More specifically, he returned to the place where John the Baptist had baptized him. This is the same place that John the Baptist was teaching, he was preaching, and he was baptizing before his life was brutally taken from him. This place is near to where Jesus was tempted and the place where he resisted those same temptations from the devil. So while Jesus is retreated from Jerusalem, we see that although he is in retreat mode, his work still continues on. There is value in working at all times, even in retreat. And through his work, Jesus' time near the Jordan becomes a time of great spiritual blessing. John 10:41-42 said, "And many people came to him. They said, 'Though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true.' And in that place, many believed in Jesus." Yes, in some ways, Jesus was forced to leave Jerusalem. But in his retreat, he never left the place of God's blessing. John tells us the name of the place. It was Bethabara, meaning place of passage. This is most likely where a ferry would be used to cross the river. But in John 10 and beyond, we see that this is a place of passage in a different sense, as people are now passing from death to life as a result of Jesus Christ and his ministry. Jesus knows that his retreat is coming to an end quickly, that a storm is coming. He will return to Jerusalem soon, and this is where he will be beaten and crucified for crimes he did not commit. For now, we see that there is a blessing before his storm, though. I pray today that our hearts also seek out places of blessing and that we would retreat when it is right to do so. You see, as we know, not every second on this earth is a blessing, nor is every place a place of blessing. After all, we just covered how Jesus came from Jerusalem, and for Jesus, that place was far from a blessing to him. It was actually a place of persecution. And today, maybe you find yourself in a place like this. You feel like it's a time of persecution or testing or even a place with a dark weightiness upon your soul. It's a place that Jesus has been before as well, as he experienced that during his ministries in Jerusalem. The thing we need to see here is that Jesus was not always successful in his preaching and evangelizing. And I want us to think about that for a second. We should know and we should not despair in our shortcomings when it comes to evangelism or preaching and teaching. But instead, we need to take heart. We need to remember that there's a time that's coming when night's shadow will pass and the day of blessing will dawn. It's hard sometimes to reach out to our neighbors and loved ones, isn't it? It's hard to be rejected. It happened to Jesus far more than it ever has to any one of us. So we should take heart. But as Jesus is in this place of retreat, what really made it a time of blessing? What made this a time that the Holy Spirit moved and many people believed on Jesus? To start off with, it was a quiet time. Jerusalem was a city. It was a busy city, as I'm sure we can look around in the Spruce Grove area, Edmonton area, Stony Plain area. Cities are busy places. There's a lot of activity and there's a lot of distractions. Jesus would have been battling for the attention of men and women all throughout the city, as markets and other types of distracting things are causing people to rush about. We see that he had to cry out in large gatherings like the Feast of Tabernacles as water is being poured out on the altar. And he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink," in John 7:37. He had to perform miracles like the healing of the blind man. But you have to wonder, if people would have immediately turned back to what they were rushing about doing in that moment. As it would just have been like, oh, a guy was healed. That's fantastic. I'm going to go shop for some apples now. I know I probably would have been distracted easily during that time. But near the Jordan, it was quiet. And those who would seek Jesus out would hear him, and they would have to reflect on his words. Today, I want to encourage you to be quiet. I want to encourage our church to be quiet. I want all of us to be quiet and direct our spiritual, our thoughts to spiritual things. If this does not happen, how can we, the church, the individual, expect any spiritual blessings of any kind? There's a preacher named Chrysostom. Oh, wow, I butchered that name, I'm sure. He was one of the first preachers, and he was preaching on these verses a long time ago. And in preaching these verses, he stated that more women than men seem to receive Christ's teachings. So he asked himself, why? He thought that women actually allow for time to think during the day. They create moments to contemplate, while men get caught up in the busyness of the world around them. You know, I don't know if there's scientific backing to Chrysostom's preaching or if there's truth to it. But what I do know is that there will never be spiritual blessings unless we take time to think and be quiet on spiritual matters, each and every one of us. The challenge then is for us to do that. I challenge you to be quiet even now. Even if you have to get up and leave us right now and get some quiet time to personally pray and study his word, I challenge you to be quiet and listen to what God has to say to you. And then when you're done that, continue to do that throughout the week. Don't just stop today. A famed preacher once said this, "Surely heaven is worth a little thought if it is to be gained." And that is true of all spiritual things. Wait upon God. Be quiet. One thing we need to understand is, yes, these blessings occur in quiet times, but sometimes we see them happen on even a larger scale. We see that crowds come to Jesus in the gospel. We see that even in our own time, we had massive crowds of people coming to listen to a guy like Billy Graham as he led droves of people to follow Jesus. And so we could still talk to people even in large crowds. Blessings do occur here as well. So when Jesus went to the other side of the Jordan, many people would come to visit him. And in doing this, many came to believe on Jesus Christ. Jesus preached to large crowds all throughout the Gospels. We see that as he feeds the 5,000. And he did this a few times where he fed a lot of people. And we reflect on this and we know that he didn't neglect small numbers. This is his disciples, number 12. But he still reached out to large numbers. He was involved in preaching to multitudes. And we can read in the Gospels that many blessings would come out of these teachings as well. Billy Graham reflected this in the way he taught, the way he preached, as he evangelized to the nations. He did a fantastic job. During these times, if we were to look at preaching to large groups of people and maybe one or two come to know Jesus Christ, as a church, we would probably be happy with that, right? We'd be like, oh, that's fantastic. I'm glad people came to know Jesus. But if it was a small group of people that came to believe out of a large crowd, we would probably be content with that. But what if I told you that we should desire more as a church? What if I told you we should desire more as individuals for more people to come to know Jesus? If there are no restrictions on like the gospel message or how many people are going to receive, which there is not, then how can we be fully content or experience the fullest measure of delight unless many come to him? Are we the church of the few, or are we the church of the many? Let us be a church of great blessing. Let us bring many to hear God's word, and let us, as a church, be faithful in our proclamation of his word. If we are to have many converts, we must have many people sitting here listening. We need to start bringing people to hear the word. And I guess the question for all each and every one of us is, who did you bring this week to hear God's word? Who did you bring this month to hear God's word? How about even just this past year? Is there no one for us to bring? I say bring them and ask for God's blessing. Let us be the church that challenges ourselves and others in having relationships with God, with the one who died on the cross for the salvation of the whole world, not just you. And yes, we need to be a church that focuses on discipleship. There's nothing wrong with that. But what happened to the programs of outreach? The days and the years where people used to bring their friends and neighbors to church, and it doesn't matter if it's this one. What happened to those times where we were bringing others to a building where they can learn about Jesus Christ? It's called outreach and evangelism. You know, I had the privilege of talking with Brad about this stuff before, and he's got a passionate heart about reaching to people that do not know Jesus. That needs to be each and every one of our hearts, every one of our mindsets, as it's like we need to understand that many people need to hear God's word, and he will bless us as a church for doing so. If you're having a hard time on how to go about teaching someone or bringing them to church, we're actually given massive hints all throughout Scripture on how to do this. Jesus returns to the place of his baptism, and in doing this, we're to understand that John the Baptist's teachings would have been hovering in the background for its initial kind of readers, listeners of this gospel. You see, we see that Jesus preached during this time, but he was not preaching a sowing type of message. It was a preaching that was harvesting. He was reaping of a crop, but it was John the Baptist that was the one that had sowed it. John 10:41, a quick reminder, says, "And many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true." John sowed those seeds. This needs to be true of us as well. Are we a church that reaps, or do we sow? These are actually musts for us as a church body, especially if we're expecting a great harvest. John will show us why his sowing was fruitful. One, he spoke of Jesus Christ. John, of course, spoke of other things, of course, as we can read of him rebuking Pharisees and Sadducees for their inability to repent of their sin. John also counseled soldiers, priests, and many others, with this counsel being backed by biblical truths every time. But the main work of John the Baptist was to inform people about Jesus Christ. John prepared the way for Jesus, and he did a fantastic job of this. As his teaching remained on the minds and hearts of those that went to see Jesus in the passage we just read. John spoke of Jesus in all aspects of his life, and because of this, people would remember the teachings that he had when they met Jesus face to face, and because of this, they ended up believing what John said and believing on Jesus. I, for one, only wish I could have heard this great preacher speak. I can read some of what John the Baptist has said throughout the Gospels. John the Baptist said this in John chapter 1, verse 34. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Or as Young's literal translation puts it, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. This is the same man that as a baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy when Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, greeted Elizabeth. He knew right then and there that the incarnation was inside of Mary. Is this a part of your testimony to others around you? Do you proclaim Jesus and leap for joy at the presence of his Holy Spirit? Jesus is God in the flesh, and Jesus is man. But if his humanity is the only thing we teach, and if we leave out the divinity part, we will see no blessing. John the Baptist saw the divinity of Jesus. He rejoiced in it, and he proclaimed that divinity. So should we. John the Baptist in his teachings of Jesus would present him as the Lamb of God, the one who would take away the sins of the world. John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John is saying this with the old sacrificial system of Jews in his mind. The system would have had a spotless lamb sacrificed on behalf of the people and their sin. Jesus is that lamb for each and every one of us, as John rightfully proclaims this. Jesus died as a substitute for all humanity. He died for our sins. He died for the sins of the entire world, not just specifically you, the individual, but for everybody we come into contact with. Do you proclaim this? Or are you more concerned with how someone is morally living in their life that is in opposition to your standards? We need to proclaim this more than we do anything else, this truth about Jesus being the sacrifice for the whole world. Because when people grasp onto these truths, it's the Holy Spirit that will work in them and will convict them of their sin. We need to preach the message of Jesus' substitutionary death for our sin. Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, is the gospel message. And it is what we are to remember. John the Baptist, he spoke truth when it came to Jesus. We see this acknowledged in those that heard John and met Jesus. To be frank, this is actually where we need to raise our standards quite a bit. At least in our discussions about Jesus. We cannot whittle Jesus down as we did sticks when we were younger or older, because when you're at a campfire, you sometimes do that. We cannot water the truth of who he is when we talk of him to others. Jesus is the one who is 100% divine and 100% human. He died, but he rose again in triumph. He once came and is coming again. He is love, but is filled with wrath against sin. And these are truths that we need to present to others, and we can't ignore or disown them. And in order to speak about these truths appropriately, we need to be diligent in our study of God's word and adhere to his word. Psalm 1:1-2 said, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Recently I've been challenged in my talks with actually John here, John Maxwell, and I know I've been challenged with not a direct challenge from him, but kind of one of those indirect ones, because he's been doing this kind of challenge with, I believe, your niece or your grandniece to memorize verses. And so as I think about that, I'm like, when's the last time I attempted to memorize verse? That's kind of sad. I have to go back to college to remember that, where it's just, I got to come back to that point. I felt the Holy Spirit tugging on me recently as he says, meditate on my law day and night. And for me, that's going to include some scripture memorization. I want to begin memorizing scripture like John does with his niece. It's my new challenge for the next while. Don't worry, Stephen, it's not my, what is it, the New Year's resolution, but it's a challenge for myself. I don't want to get picked on by Stephen. But when we pursue our relationships with Jesus in these ways, we actually begin to see some pretty amazing results. One, as we read, many came to Jesus. Jesus was not in a popular place. He was in the middle of nowhere. Kind of reminds me of our little church. His Holy Spirit and his message is what drew people to him and to that place. And today, that same drawing power has not lessened. His Holy Spirit that did that work then is still working among us as a church. We need to allow his Holy Spirit to work alongside what he has called for us as a church to do. Jesus was back in that place that John had preached and baptized. He went back to the basics, just as some churches need to do now. His people need to remember and believe on Jesus Christ because of his church, his Holy Spirit, because of the Son, because of his Father's heart, to have us, the whole world, in a relationship with him. It's eternity that is at stake here. The outcome of your eternity, of someone else's eternity, is based off of belief on Jesus and knowing that he is the Christ. Just considering some of this can lead people to belief in Jesus, just as it did for those in John 10:40-42. Maybe your role in this church is to sow. Maybe your role is to reap in this church. It needs to be one of those things. Eternity for others, for yourself, is at stake here. We need to commit to follow Jesus and believe on him as the Son of God and allow others to hear this truth as well. Should we not have similar results today as were displayed in John 10? Should some not come to faith? Should it not be many? Today, there's no reason to wait. I don't want you to wait. I don't want me to wait. Whether you already believe on Jesus or if you're someone waiting for a prompting to share with a friend, do not wait. And I conclude with something that Charles Spurgeon once wrote. The devil wants you to wait, for he knows that he can then come and steal away the good seed of the kingdom. But if the Lord should give you the grace to decide for him at once, if you were to believe on Jesus now, what joy there would be among the angels and the spirit of just men made perfect. They would ring the bells of heaven excuse me, and rejoice over lost ones. What peace there would be in your own heart, and what thankfulness and delight there would be among the people of God when they heard it. I'll invite the worship team up as I conclude here quickly. Excuse me. Well, Lord Jesus, today we pray that we take your challenges to heart and that we would be a church that reaches out to those who don't know you. Bless our ministries during this time and let us be your church that are your hands and feet. In your name we pray, amen.